Hello, KKFI listeners, and welcome to Trans Talk, this week's edition of The Tenth Voice. This is Una here at the round table in a bit of a crowded house today. And behind the soundboard doing the engineering today is Fiona. Hello, Fiona.
Hello, Una. I've never really thought of you as a King Arthur figure. I'd forgotten about the round table.
Oh, you misgender me in the first 60 seconds of the show?
That's why I've never really thought of you as a King Arthur figure. He was male.
You're just trying to avoid mandatory sensitivity training again.
I just like the trainer.
Well, okay. I like our guest today. We have a full house, and it is really wonderful. We are going to first talk to Sito Herrera, who is going to tell us about Project Pride, a coteries program for LGBT teens in the area. Then we will speak with Hannah McBroom, a local artist whose work explores themes of transgender identity, materiality, and the body, and who has an upcoming show of her work titled What Was Left. Also joining us, a repeat guest from last month, former hostess of the show, Carolyn Gibbs, the founder of the Transgender Institute, is going to give us an update on her project with the Thrive Health Connection, and we will talk a bit more about that. And then it's really a great show today, and we're going to start off the show with the Transgender News of the Month. What do you think, Fiona?
I think that's an excellent idea, but you'll have to imagine the music playing.
Oh, yeah. We've lost the music temporarily. But I like the Bewitched music better anyways.
You don't like do-do-do-do-do-do-do?
Well, after 5 or 6 years, it kind of just... It doesn't age well.
But so you don't want to stick that genie back in the bottle.
No, that she's not very happy about that. So let's go on and have some serious talk right here, and we're going to talk to our first guest in the studio. I love having this many guests today because it's really awesome. We have Sito Herrera here to talk with us about Project Pride, the coteries program for LGBT teens in the area. Sito, welcome to Trans Talk.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's so good to be here.
We know you through our missing co-host today, Anthony, who is what is Anthony doing today? He was on a...
Don't even want to guess at this point. I know last weekend they were touring with their music group. I don't know what they're doing today. And any guess I might be wrong or offensive.
They could be on their way to the Burger King right now to get the Impossible Whopper. We never know.
Well, I think or to denounce it.
Yeah, to denounce. I don't think Anthony wants any estrogen. No. So if you could tell our audience a little bit, what is Project Pride?
Absolutely. So Project Pride is an LGBTQ+, all-inclusive, I guess you could say, youth group through the Coterie Theater. I was lucky enough to be brought on last year by our director, Amanda Kibler, to co-direct with her and our other director, M. And it is a theater group that focuses on LGBT+ issues that are faced to our young youth of today. Everything from sexual orientation, discrimination, transitioning, there's so many different topics that these youth and these kids feel that there's no voice for, so they become the voice for those topics that sometimes get swept under the rug a lot of times.
When did Project Pride begin?
Project Pride was actually started, I couldn't tell you the exact date, I was not around at that time with the Coterie, I think I was a little bit younger when it started, but it's been around for several years now, and it was actually started by Amanda Kibler and brought here from an idea that was given to her by another theater, I believe in another state, I want to say Iowa.
Not Davenport.
No, not Davenport. No, not there at all, absolutely, because that'd just be two double whammies in Davenport. I don't think Davenport could take that much queerness, to be honest, obviously. But it's been an amazing program. It's almost like a queer alliance, a gay straight alliance, but with a theater-centric mission, giving students, like I said, a voice and a creative and artistic outlet for those who need that.
When you say theater-centric, what does that encompass?
Honestly, it encompasses everything from these students putting on a production, writing it, producing it, performing it, deciding on what they were going to wear, the props, how they were going to set up the stage. So it really is for all students who have any desire to be a part of theater, but who have a passion for human rights and for anti-discrimination. It's a really, really amazing program, especially someone like myself who is a theater person all through high school and college studying theater. It's amazing to be able to bring the passion of activism and theater into one.
So you don't, do you have a preset schedule or preset program, I guess, of what you want to talk about or what you want to produce, or is that decided by the students?
Everything is decided and run by the students. Myself and Amanda and the other directors are pretty much there just for adult supervision and to give them creative direction when they need it. But at the beginning of the year, which our first meeting is going to be September 4th at the Coterie Theater, we ask the students to list any topics that they would like to cover, anything they feel passionate about, anything that they feel they've been through or they've seen and they want to discuss. And then we take all these topics and we make a list out, kind of put them in a category from race to, like I said, sexual orientation, religion, political. There's all these different categories that we create, and then the students create every day a different skit based on that topic for the day. And we literally have maybe 100 to 250 skits by the end of the time, and they choose themselves which ones they want to dig in further and discover more and develop into a mini sketch.
Was this the one, do you think, that Anthony wanted to do about Mary Pilcher Cook? I think Anthony talked about writing a skit about her, but having a trans woman play her.
It could vary. I mean, these students, these youth, literally come up with some amazing ideas. One of the sketches that really stuck out to me last year was a sketch on Stonewall, and it took place in Stonewall during the riots. But the students decided to pause the riot and have each character give a backstory of themselves. And so they created a backstory for each character that would have or could have possibly been in Stonewall. So they delve into the idea of the discrimination, the Stonewall riots, but what could some of those backstories, what could some of those scenarios have been for those people inside their minds, inside their hearts?
And so the students work under the guidance of you and others. What are all your backgrounds in theater?
So my background in theater, I've been involved in theater since I was probably maybe in fifth grade. I'm 29 years old now. I don't mind just telling my age on the air. Thanks, Mom, for good genes. So I've been involved in theater for a long time. I minored in it at UMKC, got a Bachelor of Liberal Arts and a minor in theater, and have been involved in several productions. I also do drag and perform in the city as KC Sunshine, the Midwest Michael Jackson. And so it's great to have that background as well. And so these students have a world of knowledge between myself and the other directors with all of our experiences coming from different theaters and different creative backgrounds.
KC Sunshine, where do you perform as KC Sunshine?
You can catch me at Missy B's once a month, or at Hamburger Mary's at times, or all over the city at several festivals and events. It's a great time. I really enjoy doing it.
I've seen your work then many times. I had no idea that was you. Because I'm Missy's every single weekend, so
I'm not, but I've still seen you there.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I've only done, 10 minutes of makeup today as opposed to 2.5 hours of makeup that I normally do. So I look a little different.
That is a small world.
Yeah, absolutely. But these kids, they have such a vast desire to learn. And thanks to our great team of directors, they have so much knowledge to pull from.
Wow, this is wonderful. It's really nice to make that extra connection. I'm sorry, I'm getting flustered here.
Well, can I just check, how old are the kids? If you said it, I missed it, I think.
Yes, so these students are from the ages of 13 to 18, as long as they have not graduated high school. That's pretty much the only requirement for all those teens. But, I mean, you would never guess that they're 13, 14, 15 years old because the maturity that they come in with, I mean, these are young queer or queer allied youth that have seen and been aware of the issues that face our society. And so the maturity that they come in with is so beyond their years. You wouldn't think that they're 13 and 14 years old. I would put them in a class of, young adults with the maturity and the knowledge that they come in with.
I have witnessed that. I literally have met thousands and thousands and thousands of transgender and non-binary persons, and what you said rings exactly true. I've talked to 5-year-olds that seem to have the wisdom of someone in their 20s or 30s, even just from because of what they've had to face and what we've all had to go through. And that, I think that's very astute what you've pointed out there.
It's really amazing. Speaking about, you know, the non-binary, we have several youth that identify as either trans, gender non-conforming, or non-binary.
Of course.
And one of my favorite things about Project Pride is every day before we start, we do a check-in, you know, to see how the kids are doing. Young adults, youth, because they're not by any means children. But we do a check-in with them, and we also ask them to give their pronouns anywhere from he, him, she, them, they, and these youth. With the vast amount of knowledge that they have, it's really incredible to see that, you know, this is how I identify, whereas at 13, I had no idea who I was at that time. I just knew there was something different about me. I identify as gay and use the pronouns he, him, but at age 13 and 14, I was still discovering myself. These youth know who they are and have such a wealth of knowledge within themselves of what they want and what they desire out of life. It's really incredible.
So, well, the students even go through making things like props and so forth for the productions?
So we don't actually make props. We do very similar to stage readings, but that are...
Okay.
There's some props used involved, you know, from chairs, using a bench, but for the most part, pantomiming, maybe using a book for one, but a lot of the students create the images that you see on stage with their bodies. We even had some students pose as furniture or as dolls to give certain messages across. When we were talking about transitioning somebody choosing their gender, we had two youth that posed as a male and female doll for when you want to choose your gender and that choice and that transition that they go through. So they use their imagination to create these great mini productions.
You know, it seems to me that this sort of work would also be useful for non-binary youth to explore roles of one gender, another, or anything in on the spectrum, to sort of explore that through art and come to learn more about themselves. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. It's a great outlet for them to play different parts, as you said. Definitely a lot of these youth have discovered or are in the process of discovering themselves. So we invite them to, you know, step out of your comfort zone. Maybe not the first or second day, but the idea of this is to help everyone grow, not just the youth, but ourselves as the directors as well. So we want them and we encourage them positively and lovingly to step out of their comfort zone, discover who they are, try different things, and to play with gender roles sometimes, even in some of their sketches, and see what they quote-unquote stereotypically feel like to play those roles.
Now, you mentioned the Stonewall Project mm-hmm. earlier. What are some of your other favorite projects or scenes, I guess, that you've seen the group do?
Well, one of the most fun ones to watch and to work with was they did what was called the Gateway, G-A-Y, Gateway. And they had two students set up as a gate, and to get in, you had to be a certain type of gay. So we had a student posing as a very flamboyant gay male, and they said, oh, of course, you're allowed in here. But then one that was coming out identifying as a quote-unquote lipstick lesbian, they said, well, you're not lesbian enough, so you can't get into the gay bar. So it kind of depicted that our own stereotypes in the LGBTQ plus community, how sometimes we marginalize ourselves and our community, saying, well, if you're not this gay, if you're not this butch, if you're not this femme, you can't come into these places, or you're not necessarily welcome. So they depicted that, and for them to be this young and aware of that, it was really great to see them develop those characters, because there was probably, I want to say, 10 different stereotypical LGBTQ characters that they had passed through the quote-unquote gateway before one of them pushed it down and knocked it down and said, I don't need to be this gay, I don't need to be that lesbian, I can be me.
I would have really loved to have seen that. You know, the similar thing exists in the trans community, the trans mm-hmm. pecking order. Are you on hormones or not?
Yeah.
Have you had surgery or not? You know, all sorts of different levels of social strata and exclusion. And I hear it every night that I'm out. Someone like, you know, what are they? Oh, I don't know what they are. They're not on hormones yet. Well, how do they identify? Well, they say they're a girl, but they're not on hormones. Well, then they're a girl. You know, don't be a creep, you know, just
absolutely
accept them.
Self-identity is self-identity. Keyword is self, and it's for them to define. I fully agree with that. One of the other skits that I helped direct was a trans youth picking out clothing, and We had another youth acting as their conscience, and each item of clothing they pulled down, they said, oh, this is kind of nice to wear. And then the conscience would say, well, remember what mom said about you wearing that? Remember mom said the skirt looked prettier than the sweatpants? Or remember mom liked the heels better than the shoes? And so it was the youth coming to terms with, I want to dress this way, but my mother will make a comment about it. And in the end, the mother came in and apologized for the past comments. But it was really incredible to see, this is a simple thing as picking out clothing, but those who identify as non-binary, trans, or queer have to go through that every morning deciding what they're going to wear and what they're going to hear for their choices, for what they wear.
It'd be nice if my mother would apologize to me. You hear that out there, Mom?
Yeah, that's so not happening. She didn't listen. She's not listening.
She didn't listen to me.
Well, that's okay. We love you and we accept you.
Oh, and it's coming from the Midwest, Michael Jackson. I feel honored. Praise from Caesar, so to speak. So if one is an LGBT younger person and would like to get involved or learn more about Project Pride, how can they do that?
Well, we have our initial, we call our informational meeting at 6 p.m. on Wednesday, September 4th at the Coterie Theater at Crown Center. It's just a fun place. It's going to be a fun time. We get together and we just kind of go over what Project Pride is, give them kind of an overview, and then play a few theater games with them, some learning games. It's mostly led by alumni. So again, Amanda and myself are there as directors, but we try not to lead, more so go where the students want to and then, you know, give them some creative direction. But the students, it's very much student-led. And so September 4th, we invite any LGBTQ+ or allied youth. Please come and join us. It's a wonderful time at 6 p.m., and I promise it is, for me at least, life-changing. And it really is such an amazing creative and activist avenue.
And your shows are open, when you do the shows, they are open to the public?
Yes, they are open to the public. Our shows will be in November of this year. Normally they're in the spring, but we had a change in the lineup. So this year we get to start back earlier, which I'm excited about. I did not want to have to wait until January to start working with these youths. I'm so excited to get to start with working with them earlier. So in November at the Coterie Theater, we will use the Coterie Theater stage and space and put on the production for two nights, and it's open to the public. It's an amazing, amazing experience and so much fun to watch.
If someone is really enthused about coming to see this or be involved, like I know I am, and I think Fiona is, I'm barely able to restrain her over there behind the soundboard.
The soundboard is the only thing keeping me back and under control.
Awesome. Do you have a Facebook page or a web page that someone can go to find out information?
Absolutely. You can look us up on Facebook at the Coterie Theater or on the Project Pride Facebook page. You can also email Amanda Kibler directly at akibler@coterietheater.org or give the Coterie Theater a call. All are welcome. Again, the only stipulation is that you are a youth from ages 13 to 18 and have not graduated high school.
How do you spell Kibler for that email address?
The email address is akibler, A-K-I-B-L-E-R.
Just
like
can
it
we
sounds.
Put that on
Kibler.
on the written community calendar post, too?
I will have to update it, but yes.
Okay, yeah, we'll make sure our audience can get that, because a lot of people are out there, like, you know, driving along and can't write this down. Or,
if you write it down on a piece of paper before you leave, I will update
yes,
our community calendar post
that.
With all the details.
Shout out to all the schools out there. We actually had a school bring their entire a group of theater students last year to the informational meeting that they
oh, wow.
they got a bus and they brought, I want to say, possibly like 15 students. And then from that group of 15, I think maybe 5 or 6 joined Project Pride last year. But it was really amazing to see that those theater teachers out there want to help their students and give them more outlets, not just for theater, but for their activism work. So thank you to all that and all those theater teachers out there listening. We invite you to come down if you have students that want to join but can't. Teachers are more than welcome to come and get some information to take back to their schools, absolutely.
That sounds really thrilling, and I'm going to do my best to come down to see your show. And Cito, I'd like to really thank you so much for coming on Trans Talk to tell us about Project Pride and your program. And I just want to thank you again.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure and my honor. I appreciate it very much.
We're going to take a brief break for some station announcements, and then we're going to be back to talk to our next guest, Hannah McBroom. And welcome back to Trans Talk here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We have our next guest up today, which is Hannah McBroom. Hannah is a local artist whose work explores themes of transgender identity, materiality, and the body. She has attended residencies at the Vermont Studio Center and Chautauqua School of Art, and has exhibited in many shows nationally and internationally, including the Red Clay Survey, Manifests Tapped, International Painting Annual No. 6 in 2015, and again in 2018 for No. 9. She's the recipient of the Artist 360 grant through the Mid-American Artist Coalition. She currently maintains a studio in Overland Park, and she will be talking with us about her upcoming her work in an upcoming show called What Was Left. Hannah, welcome to Trans Talk.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about tell us about your art in general. What has inspired you? I know you have an academic history mm-hmm. in the arts, but have you always had an interest ever since you were young?
Not really. I think my earliest interest was maybe at the age of like 8, wanting to do a graphic novel with my younger brother, and we maybe worked on that for 20 minutes before we gave up on it. But I started in art as a senior in high school, and just went 4 years in my undergrad going through art. I got a bachelor's of fine arts in 2015 from the Mississippi State University, and then
magna cum laude, I see.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Awesome.
Yeah, it's really easy to get that in art. And then I got a master's of fine arts in this year from the University of Arkansas.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, probably magnum cum laude. I only got one B.
So you weren't that interested when you were younger, but when you went into fine arts and painting, what really inspired you, though? What really made you choose that path in life?
I was fortunate enough to actually go to an art museum at a young age, and I was just enamored with all the paintings of these very heroic like figures, just fighting off bulls, or just like just a lot of like the figurative paintings really inspired me. Like at that age, I think it was just like the technical handling, but also just showing the body in this very beautiful way that I hadn't seen before, and I think all throughout like my undergrad, I had like this romantic idea of just being a painter's painter, of being locked away in a studio for hours and hours and coming out and having like this thing that I created. And so I wanted to surround myself with a lot of painters. And so like when I went to my master's and some of these residencies, I was always just hoarding information and trying to get as much as I could out of other people.
I found that many people in the LGBT community, when they are a painter, an illustrator, or a graphic artist, they focus on the body quite a bit rather than, excuse me, had to get rid of boy voice, shoe boy voice, shoe. They focus on that rather than landscapes or still life or animals. Many of us seem to be drawn to the human body, if not our own, then that of others. Have mm-hmm. you noticed something like that?
I've definitely noticed that in like other trans artists, they tend to work with the body or on the body. There's a lot of trans illustrators that do tattoo work, and so they do. I think there's a few in Chicago, and then like at least one in like San Francisco. But I think the body is just like something you have and you know more than anything else. It's like, for me at least, it's the side of like inspiration and frustration a lot of times. So it's like the perfect thing to kind of work with if you're wanting something to work on. I know a lot of landscape painters, and a lot of it is just following like this older tradition, usually around like the West Coast. And they're still doing it. I saw a lot of it at the Chautauqua School of Art the last 3 years. There were a lot of landscape painters. But it was just, it never struck me as anything that I wanted to do. It was just, I just want to go and look at the sunset. I don't want to actually paint it. I wanted to enjoy it.
Of course.
Yeah.
So you've done a solo show before in Fayetteville, I saw, mm-hmm. which was, I don't know the title of
Arcega's.
Arcega's.
Yes. Captain.
But your newest solo show here is locally at the Bunker Gallery in Kansas City, Missouri. And tell us about your show.
Yeah, so the works in the show, there's three paintings and then a few drawings, but they all have to do with the body being in some kind of water, body of water. The show kind of came out from working on my thesis show for my master's. I was dealing a lot with imagery that was important to my life at the time. And they had a lot of, the images had a lot to do with my own perspective, just being a trans woman and operating in the world and going about my daily path. But one of the things that came out of, like, working on that series was actually there's a lot of images I wanted to, like, create that had to do with the body and water. And one of the paintings that will be in the show is from that series called Slip Away. But it came, it's this painting of this torso in a field of water. And there's no genitalia, and then there's no, like, marked sex on it, but there's definitely, like, a gender. And I was interested in the, really just people's reactions to the work. I would have people come up to the show, and the conversations I wanted to have, they were actually just talking more about the paint and less about the body. Because I think there's a lot of what I came out of, like, a lot of this was just, like, there's a lot of politics involved with painting to begin with, but also just with, like, bodies in general. And so the works that are in the show, I started making them with that kind of theme of, like, just something in the water. From the series, it started out with, like, the idea of fluidity, of gender being able to move across these different boundaries. But with the show, I wanted to kind of, like, put that in the back of my head and focus on, like, some other ideas that weren't trans-related. And so some of it was, like, about summertime. Some of them are about, like, relationships. But I think the most important thing is about the paintings first. Like, if the viewer can actually sit there and appreciate, like, what's happening on the canvas, then I've done my job.
The theme of water sounds intriguing because I've had discussions with folks that have said water plays an important role in transgender art because of its fluidity, because it can change. It can change from ice to liquid to be ethereal and be vapor and so forth. It has many different phases as well as being always in motion. So it, I've actually joked too, being an engineer, that we could also, you know, that non-binary people are super critical because at that state you can't tell between two of the phases from each other. Gas and liquid look exactly the same, yet they're different.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't thought of that perspective. I think a lot of them were just like, I was just going to the local swimming hole in Arkansas with a bunch of friends and just drinking beer and then just pushing each other into the river. And a lot of, like, the images came from, like, those weekends.
You associate that with some really pleasant times.
I do, yes.
That's really good that you can take that positive experience and put it into your art that way. Mm-hmm. It's more simple than my stilted explanation of fluidity and so forth.
Mm-hmm. But it's still there and it's still valid.
excuse me, boy voice keeps coming back. So, for someone that's never been to an art showing, and if they come to see you, what should they expect?
Expect a lot of people, I'm hoping. And well,
absolutely.
But I think just come in. There will be paintings on the wall, and you're free to move around. There will be people, like, talking to each other and looking. Usually when I go into art shows, I just look at the work, and I just kind of leave. Art shows are have very little to do with actually looking at the art and more to do with socializing. So if you actually want to see the work in a very private, personal way, I would really encourage you to actually go when there's not a reception going on. But I think just, like, if you're going to, like, any of the receptions or any show, I think just enjoy it. Grab some wine if they have it, and then just talk to people.
And you will be speaking at your show or talking about your art?
I think so, yes. Probably.
Sorry, I thought you'd finished.
Oh, no, go ahead, please.
I was going to see you have an opening and a closing reception.
Yes, I do. The opening will be first Friday, 5 to 9 at the Bunker Center for the Arts, and there will be a closing on the 28th, which is the last Saturday of the month. Imagine from 5 to 9 as well.
Do people just show up for that, or do they need to RSVP on a Facebook page?
No, you can just show up. All the information will be on my website and on the Facebook page. And just show up, eat some cheese. There'll be some rubber snakes running around the room.
Yeah, wasn't there a mix-up on why are there rubber snakes?
So I had one of the paintings has a snake running around between the angles of a character, and when I was talking to the director about the show and doing a lot of the planning, I was like, okay, I'll be in charge of bringing snacks then. But the typo went out to, I'll bring all the snakes. And so I just went with it. I'm like, okay, I'm bringing snakes now.
Oh, that's just too funny.
And you're providing the wine, so this is going to work out. So there'll be some of those there.
That's hilarious. So for those of you that don't know, the Bunker Center for the Arts is at 1014 East 19th Street in Kansas City. And for folks that are interested in coming to see your art and experience everything that you've put onto canvas, so to speak, how can they find more information out about you and the show?
Yes, so I am all over the web. I have a website at hannahmcbroom.com. Last name is M-C-B-R-O-O-M, and then I'm on social media on Instagram and Facebook under the same name.
And Hannah is H-A-N-N-A-H.
Yes, it is.
Like Una, there's many ways to spell Hannah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what do you have coming up after this show? What is your next big project?
Well, I have 5 other shows happening in the same month. So I think next week I'll be shipping out some works and delivering some stuff. But I have a few projects, larger projects I can't talk about just yet, but those will be happening during the
top
spring.
Secret.
Yes, it's under top secret detail. But those, a lot of that will be announced through Instagram or my website. And so I would just check there.
That sounds magnificent. I really love the intersectionality of arts as a way for people in our community to express themselves and to really serve as a voice sometimes when other times we feel like we don't really have a voice, or at least we have a voice, but we don't think that anyone's listening to it. Is that part of why you do your art? Is it part of your voice?
I think so. I'm very publicly trans, and I talk about that a lot of times. When I was going through school, I didn't really have a lot of people that I knew that were making similar works. And so it was, when people ask, like, what kind of painter are you going to be? I'm like, well, I guess I'll be like the old school painters who have been painting the same way for hundreds of years. I started a folder with a friend or a spreadsheet, and it was basically every trans artist that I know of. And at the beginning, I thought there were only maybe like 4, including my friend and myself. And at the end, we had tallied it, and we had close to like 150 like trans artists that were still alive today and working. And so I think that's one of the more incredible things about being alive in this age is like you have the internet. And I think that's a great resource, especially if you're like an up-and-coming artist and you want to know about something. A lot of stuff I don't know how to do, I'll just Google it. Especially if it's like a medium or something to do with painting.
And then historically speaking, of course, art has always intersected our community. I mean, the thing that many people come to mind is Lily Elbe, you know, the Danish girl.
Yeah.
And, of course, Michael Dillon, the first, the first well-known transgender man sketched and painted as well, though his work is much less known. So, and it's just gone on through history. And so if you could repeat one more time how people could find out about your show, we'd like to.
Yes. So if you go to my website or go to Facebook or Instagram, it's Hannah McBroom. So HannahMcBroom. And you can find all the information you would ever need to know about me.
Hannah, it's just wonderful to have you on. Thank you so much. Yeah. And we're going to take a brief break here and then come back to talk to Carolyn Gibbs about her latest project with Thrive.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And welcome back to Trans Talk here on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We have had two wonderful guests on talking to us about the arts, and it's sort of an artistic theme today, and we're going to take a little bit of a sidestep and talk about healthcare and advocacy with Carolyn Gibbs, the founder and leader of the Transgender Institute. Carolyn, you wanted to say something to talk about Hannah's work, I guess.
Absolutely. I have seen Hannah McBride. First of all, Una and Fiona, let me say, good afternoon, Transist City. Woo! So, let me say about it. Ms. McBroom's work, Hannah McBroom's work, I have had the pleasure and the honor of being able to see it. It is beautiful. It is edgy. It is wonderful. Get to see it, whatever else you do.
Thank you so much, Caroline. And now let's, last month you were on our show to talk about Thrive. And could you tell our audience, you know, give us an update? Because I know that's coming up pretty soon here.
Absolutely. It's coming up pretty soon. And I think to lead off, I should say that the Transgender Institute is completely honored to have been asked by Thrive Health Connection to join their new project. And it's been a collaboration and will be a collaboration between Thrive, which used to be the Good Samaritan Project, the Kansas City Anti-Violence Project, the Transgender Institute, and besides the Kansas City Anti-Violence Project, it is another organization which just went out of my brain. I apologize to you all.
The LGBTQ Patient Advocacy Program at Truman Medical Center,
any chance? It's Truman. It's the Anti-Violence Project. It's Transgender Institute. And it is the organization. Or the program is called Our Bodies, Our Minds, the Mental, Physical, and Interpersonal Effects of Transition.
So tell us a little bit about what it's about. You know, what is the program doing?
The program is serving the Transgender Institute, specifically those people who are among the most marginalized of all. And those people are being affected by HIV/AIDS. They're people of color. All transgender people, obviously, are welcome because it's to do with transition. So we are thrilled to be able, really, to put this program on. It is a group to begin. This is our first venture into this program. It's going to begin on September the 10th with a group, a support group. We would like to invite everyone to show up. It's a closed group, which means that once you join, you make the commitment to stay on to all 6 weeks of the program. And we plan, as I mentioned, to serve specifically the HIV/AIDS population and people of color, and then again also all transgender people. There are several topics which are going to be presented. Among them, obviously having adequate protection from HIV and STIs. We will have a wonderfully renowned endocrinologist in the Kansas City area, Dr. Kurt Mediette, to talk about the psychological and physical effects of hormone therapy. We will also have transitioning in the workplace, dating, coping, and social norms, among other topics. So we feel it's going to be a full and all-inclusive program and are looking forward to welcoming all transgender people in the community to come.
And that's just part of the educational curriculum that the Transgender Institute and others are constantly doing here in Transist City. I mean, it was just this last week you hosted the transgender brain, a talk at your institute, which
Absolutely.
I was involved with.
And Una was not only involved with it, but she put on the show. And all 25 women, trans women who attended, gave me nothing but roaringly good reviews of this presentation. It included research that came up to 2019 about the transgender brain, and it was absolutely fascinating and educational. So thank you, Una, for coming.
Well, it's my pleasure. I'm rather fond of my transgender brain and the transgender brains that are all running around out there everywhere, of course. So how much is Kansas City better or worse, do you think, in addressing the problem of HIV/AIDS in the transgender community? Do we still have a lot of progress to make?
We have a lot of progress to make, but I have to give my hats off to Thrive for, since 1984, spearheading this incredible work as a 501c3 organization in helping the folks that are affected by these conditions. So I think that we, to answer your question specifically, I think we're onto something here with Thrive and have been for some time, though there's always more work to do.
That's true. There's almost an unlimited amount of work to do, it seems. It's like trying to bail out the ocean sometimes.
Absolutely. It is like trying to bail out the ocean, but I think we're getting there, and I feel fabulous about this Thrive Transgender Institute, Kansas City Anti-Violence Project, and Truman Medical Center collaborative project that's going to begin, as I said, with this wonderful support group.
And is that support group being held at the Transgender Institute or at one of the other group's locations?
It's going to be held at Thrive Health Connection, which is located at 5008 Prospect Avenue.
Thank you.
If someone is interested in joining or being part of this program, how can they find information about it and get in contact with folks?
That's a wonderful question. And in my mind is not the phone number, unfortunately, but it's Thrive Health Connection. I should mention also that it was called formerly the Good Samaritan Project, and once again, in response to Fiona's question, it's located at 5008 Prospect Avenue. So if you just would Google Good Samaritan Project, it will come up immediately along with the phone number. And we ask everybody to try and join and register ahead of time because we expect a good turnout.
So what I'm seeing here is that the phone number for Good Samaritan Project, that's the nice thing about having laptops and iPads and stuff, is at 816-561-8784. And when I put in Good Samaritan Project Kansas City, it was indeed the very first link that came up at thrivehealthkc.org. So I would imagine that is another good resource for finding out information about the project. Is there a certain maximum number of people that can be in the program?
There isn't, Una. We are welcoming everyone to come. We feel that the curriculum is full and that we're able to serve any and all people that want to show up, from 5 people to 100 people. We can manage because we've got such wonderful people presenting.
And you have we met some of them last month. I can't remember the name of the person who was with you, I'm afraid. I'm very embarrassed about that. And apparently...
You can't either.
No.
But we did enjoy talking to them about Thrive and Thrive's programs last month.
I've drawn a complete blank. It has been a very long month.
So in Caroline, who was here and had this guest speaker, she also has drawn a complete blank, so... forgive us.
Yes, we're only human, afraid. Carolyn, thank you very much for giving us an update on Thrive Health Connection. And once again, to find out information on how to be part of the HIV AIDS STI Awareness Program, you can go to their website at thrivehealthkc.org. And the phone number I'm showing here also is 816 561-8784. Thank you so much for coming back to Trans Talk.
Thank you, Una. I appreciate it so much.
And now let's have a little bit of the community calendar update from Fiona. Fiona, you have the stage, okay, so to speak.
So, time for the community calendar. And as always, it will appear on the Facebook page for the 10th Voice, which is www.facebook.com/10thvoice at 2 o'clock when the show's over. And UMKC is back in session, and they will be starting up their Trans Plus group, but they haven't picked their regular meeting night yet. And they have promised to let me know when they actually do, so stay tuned, watch this space, and we'll have more information for you for next month for that. And you just heard about Project Pride. And the meeting for that, we heard, is September the 4th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Coterie. And you can also contact Amanda Kibler at akibler@coterietheatre.org for more information. And every month I lead the Kansas City Sofa Group for Significant Others, Friends, Family, and Allies of Transgender and Non-Binary Persons. We meet on the first and third Wednesday of the month. And in September, that's the 4th and the 18th. In study room 116 at Leawood Pioneer Library, and we meet from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And if you want driving directions or other sofa information, you can visit transacity.org/sofa, which is S-O-F-F-A, or you can email sofakc@yahoo.com. And every third Thursday, the Equal Trans Support Group meets at 5 p.m. They also have a Friends Plus Allies meeting on the second Monday of the month at 6 p.m., and both of them at the Kansas City Center for Inclusion, which is just a couple of doors down from our studio at 3909 Main Street, Kansas City, Missouri.
I mean, just practically right, I mean, just right down the way.
Yes. Previously, you said that you could throw a stone and hit it, but we want to discourage people from throwing stones at the building.
Oh, yes. Well, sorry.
And this year, they're also working again at the KC Renaissance Festival to raise money for their group. And that starts on August 31st. So if anyone does want to help them with that and help them raise money for their group and their cause, you can reach out to them on Facebook at, if you search on Friends and Allies of the Equal Trans Support Group, the full link is really nasty, and it'll be on the post on our Facebook page after the show.
And you get to practice all your terrible fake English accents while you're at the Renfest, oi?
Oi. More like oi vey, when I have to listen to your awful accent. Speaking of awful accents and using things that aren't part of your culture.
At least I haven't started my Irish accent.
No, you just have.
I know.
And you're inflicting that on all of our listeners too, not just on me. You're a terrible, terrible it's person, awesome. Una.
I know.
And I don't want to leave without reminding people that JOCO Q Space is a youth group for LGBTQ youth, and they meet every Thursday from 5:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at St. Andrew Christian Church, 13890 West 127th Street, Olathe, Kansas. And for more information, you can go to Facebook, and you can find them at JOCO Q Space. But we're running out of time for the community calendar, so anyone interested will have to go and find it on our Facebook page.
And on transacity.org, where we're posting the community calendar update every month.
Every month.
Every month.
Yeah, that's already there. You don't have to wait till 2 o'clock.
Sorry.
Sneaky. Do you want to round up?
Yes, I could round up. We really want to thank... How much time do we have?
1 minute exactly now.
Oh, well, you're the engineer. You're supposed to signal me. So thank you all so much for tuning in to... Oh, not that signal. Wow, that's... You have to bleep your fingers there. Thank you all so much for tuning in to Trans Talk, this week's edition of the 10th Voice. We'd like to thank our special guests, Cito Herrera, Hannah McBroom, Carolyn Gibbs, my co-host and sound producer and engineer and wonderful mouse, Fiona, and all of our listeners out there. Remember, you can always send an email with your thoughts and suggestions to the10thvoice@gmail.com. Next up, stay tuned for This Way Out, followed by Wings, and then Every Woman, where you will have me and Fiona again talking to folks from the India Institute of Kansas City about women's issues. And be sure to join the 10th Voice next weekend as well, Saturday at 1 p.m., for more discussion of LGBT topics and events. And as always,